Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. It's just good to be in the same room with God tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Maybe be seated. Praise the Lord. I tell you, it's already good. It's just going to continue to get better. And I just want to say it's my first time to get up here and say anything. You probably wondered if I had a voice. Annie's been kind of doing everything. But we are. I want to echo what Annie's been saying. We're just really glad to be with you. And this is kind of a family time at family church and family covenant, family blessing. You know, this church isn't just a Lone Ranger. Pastor Mike and Courtney, thank you. They're not just out here on their own doing their own thing, unwatched, unhooked up with any vision. I mean, they're a part of something very big, and you're a part of something big. And the voice of the Word of Faith and the voice of the Spirit of God that goes forth from this pulpit is connected to a big vision and a vision with lots of purpose and destiny. And God's doing some things in the northwest region of New York. Amen? How many of you know that God hasn't forgotten about this part of the world? You know, this is part of the uttermost parts of the world. And so it's good to be in part of the uttermost parts. And you're part of our family. You know, we're talking about the family churches. But we're all, there's only really one body of Christ. And, you know, there might be a lot of titles over different church buildings and everything. But one day when the King of Kings does come back for the church, there's just going to be one body of Christ. There's just one body of Christ. And so it's good to know that we're a part of a mighty moving force. Amen. You know, we're a part of something much bigger than what we see in the natural. And so Annie and I, once again, I was thinking just on the way here, you know, we knew that this was not going to be a large attended meeting. And some things that Pastor and I made decisions about that kind of kept it to a little bit smaller meeting. And you didn't know that, but that's the truth. We could have made sure that every chair in this building was full. But after we sought the Lord on it, and Pastor Mike and I talked about it, we just really believed that this particular meeting needed to be special for you. Amen. And to minister to this church's need and to your need, and not just to the masses. Annie and I have had one of our most outstanding, memorable healing crusades with six people present. We did a meeting. It was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, was it? Was that? And, you know, I think the pastor felt a little bit awkward and embarrassed, you know, having our ministry in, not to, you know, toot our own horn. I mean, I could toot my own horn, but I do toot my own horn. Thank you for the courtesy laughs. We appreciate every one of those. We really do. I appreciate every one of those. But, you know, we have a ministry that, you know, we may be at Rhema Bible Training Center ministering to 5,000 people. You know, we might be at Ronnie Tan's church in Singapore where there's 8,000 members in his church. And Annie and I have ministered at Benny Hinn's church. I don't know if you've ever seen Benny Hinn on television, but my family knows his family very well, and they graciously invited us to come and minister at their church. So I could go on and on and on. There's a lot of places we minister on a regular basis. And sometimes, you know, you go to places and when there's just a small grouping, people think, well, what do they have to say? You know, they're just ministering to small churches like this. Well, I just want you to know that, see, we're part of a lot bigger picture that you don't see. Just like you're a part of something bigger, you know, in the natural I can't see right now. But I'm aware of what you're part of. And it's exciting to be a part of this bigger vision, this bigger destiny. And so talking about Annie and I being here, Pastor Mike and Courtney, they're getting a covenant blessing. And what I mean by that, Pastor Mike's spiritual dad, Pastor Michael Luketic, over in Fredonia, which is his spiritual dad, we've been in a relationship with Pastor Michael for some time. And you know, it's kind of like the mafia. You never thought I'd mention that tonight, but, you know, the Italian family, they take care of their own. You know, And they stand behind their own. So I got a witness, Brother Kirk. And see, what I might be doing for you now, you might be doing something for me later. Now, that's not why we're doing it, but the principles of seed time and harvest are always at work. And when you have a family and you have a connection, how many know sometimes, you know, you're there for one of your family members when they need you and you don't need them? And then if you wait around long enough, all of a sudden you're needing them when they don't need you anymore. But we're always there for one another because you only have one family. And so these kind of, you know, you could say they're like covenant, you know, in the Bible days, you know, when they talked covenant, it got a little bit serious. You know, they'd cut their hands and they would rub their hands together and they would mix their blood together. They call it a blood covenant. That's why, you know, our covenant, you know, the blood of Jesus is a blood covenant. That's why when you say the name of Jesus and you mention the blood of Jesus, that's a covenant that we have with our Lord and Savior, that when the devil hears the name and he hears the blood mentioned, he realizes that the complete, entire, finished work of Jesus on the cross when he whipped the devil is what's being declared at that moment. So, like, for instance, just being here tonight, it's one of those covenant things. You know, we take relationship very serious. And so that's why we're here, in case you might go, well, how did this come about? Why are, you know, if they could be anywhere that they would want to be, why are they here? It's covenant. You get the covenant blessing, you get the covenant benefits, and so, but we love people. We want you to know that. We love people, and you minister to people one at a time anyways. You know, you might minister to a large group of people, but everyone listens one at a time. You know, Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4 about there being four different kinds of ground. And finally, he got to the fourth ground, which was those that heard the word and did the word. They produced some different type of return, some 30-fold, 60-fold, some 100-fold. And so, you know, in a meeting like this where we're all so focused and it's just us here, you know, sometimes even in a church there could be, you know, some people not producing because, you know, three of those grounds, 75% of the ground, there was no fruit that came forth. Well, we sure don't want to be in that group, do we? That's 75%. But it was only just a 25% of 100% produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Yeah. So what if you would say that this particular group in this church, family church in Dayton, that we are all 100-fold, 100% producers, fruit-bearing, life-changing, things happening, God-confirming, blessings flowing, because we got people that don't only just hear the word, they perceive what God's saying, they receive what God's saying, they act upon what God's saying, and you know the Bible says that if you hear and do the word, you'll be blessed in all of your deeds. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Why don't you turn to someone next to you and say, do you have a shout of victory or has the devil made you quiet? Did you ask him? I want to make sure turn to one another and say, do you got a shout of victory? Amen. Well, which one is it? Which one do you got?
Amen.
You got a shout of victory tonight? Amen. Well, I tell you what, just this morning's message, that got us going. You know, and talking about being in one mind and one accord, I was thinking on the way over here, you know, there's that Noah's generation back there in Genesis 11th chapter. It talks about the story, or we Annie and I like to say the word event, because they're not just stories. How many know everything that is in the Bible, these are actual events that took place? No one made up these stories. These are actually events that took place in history. But there, it's an amazing story there in Genesis 11 chapter where one of the descendants families of Noah's time, that they got together, and it says they were in one accord, and it says they were speaking the same thing. And God said he had to take notice of what they were saying and what they were doing, because they were building a building that was reaching and going into the clouds. Now, they didn't have some of the machinery that we have today. These big caterpillar, you know, big earth-moving machines and all these cranes and these lifters. They didn't have any of that. This was before Egyptian days when, you know, we look at the pyramids and everyone, all these tourists go in there and go, you know, they're just at all that man could. Well, this is back just after Noah's days. And God had to take notice and said, I've got to go down and confuse their language. Isn't that interesting that he said, I'm going to have to do something about their language? Because they were speaking something. They believed something, and they believed something together, and therefore voiced it. And after they voiced it, they did it. And the Tower of Babel was going into the clouds. Now, I don't know if they were on the highest point of some mountain that they got a little closer for starter, you know, that made it a little easier. But listen, on the highest mountain, if they were going up into the clouds at that time of development of earth-moving ability, that was quite a feat to do.
Amen.
How many of you agree with that? And so God said, nothing. Now, think about this. These were not Christians. They did not have a covenant with God. God said nothing that they would imagine to do would be impossible to them. Wow. And I got to thinking as I read that, I thought, well, if God would say that, a bunch of heathens who didn't even, they weren't born again, they didn't have a covenant with God, they really didn't have a relationship or really knew God, if God took notice of them getting in one accord, in one mind, believing and saying something, what could God do with a small group of people and Dayton who got in one accord, in one mind, and began to believe something and spoke something, no telling what could be built. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, that just lets you know the impact that us getting in one accord and then what we say out of our mouths, what that can produce in the spirit realm, which everything starts in the spirit realm, and then it produces in the natural realm. Just like your spiritual life. It all is what's on the inside working on the outside. You don't get healed from the outside in. You get healed from the inside out. The revelation that Jesus bore your sicknesses on a tree, paid the price for your righteousness, that the finished work of what Jesus did, that revelation and reality is big on the inside of you, who you are in Him. That is your platform to know that you can actually launch your faith and believe you receive something tangible in your body that starts in the spirit realm because revelation started here and He said, now you can have what you say. Aren't you glad Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he saith. Man, these are some powerful words that Jesus said. And the thing is, God meant every word that he ever said. Now, the Bible says that every word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully furnished and perfect unto every good work. The Word of God, the power of every seed, the Word of God is referred to as the seed. And it's the incorruptible seed. Everyone say incorruptible seed. I like the confirmation that we have. You know, we have a sure word of prophecy, the Bible says. Hebrews says that. A sure word of prophecy that God, before events take place, He declares the end from the beginning. No book like the Bible has ever been written where someone, and you got how many authors of the Bible? Is it 67? But you got all, yeah, how many? No, I'm not talking about, all the different men, the books of the Bible, and those that, well, every writer that was inspired by the Holy Ghost, not one time does the Word of God contradict itself. Do you realize that miracle in of itself? I mean, the fact that you could have this many writers speaking these many words by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and then never is there a contradiction. Every word of God is true, and it has proven itself to be true, unlike any book ever written in history concerning any other religion, any other books written on about concerning any other god. And just as a little reminder, all the other gods you talk about, their bones are still in their grave. But there's only one grave of one God who his bones aren't there no more, because he was raised from the dead on the third day, just like the Bible said he would. So before we go any further in these meetings, there are people who have seminars that spend hours and hours exposing the reality that the Word of God is the infallible truth, incorruptible seed. The odds of every prophetic word that we see in the Word of God, how it's already, the things that have already been said has come to pass. The odds of even the scriptures that refer to Jesus being the Son of God and the prophetic words of his coming to the earth. Everything in the Word of God that we can read about Jesus, the odds are would literally just make your mind go, pff. You know, there's that commercial on television where these little kids, and they go, that guy sits there after, they're trying to figure out what he's saying, like infinity times infinity or something like that, and you see the guy go, because your mind just can't comprehend the vastness, the awesomeness of the reality of who God is and how he has so amazingly spoken perfectly everything in his word. Why is this important to us? Because if you have confidence that we just haven't drank the Kool-Aid down in some, foreign land somewhere, you heard about the Jonestown thing where all these people followed this man with an occult, and they went down there, and his whole idea was they were believed that he had heard a voice from heaven that there's going to be a day that they were all going to go into eternity to heaven. Well, it worked, but it didn't work the way that it was supposed to work. And so he poisoned everybody. Well, we did not drink the Kool-Aid, my friends. Amen. Thank God is right. I want to tell you this. As a minister, and if you've never been in ministry, if I could do a quick flashing on the wall of every time that I've given a prophetic word that has come to pass. If we could just, if we could flash up on the wall and just show every time that we obeyed God and spoke something and ministered something, that later on we heard from the pastor how amazingly accurate for what was needed those words were spoken. If we could tell you and show up on the wall every healing that took place because of the power of the Word of God. Amen. If I could somehow explain to you how just even as a minister, and we've all seen many ministers on television and we've gone to different meetings, but if you could ever stand in a place of ministry and experience one time of receiving direction and utterance and unction from the Holy Ghost, and watch the Holy Spirit use you one time in a ministry position where you said things and you did things you had no clue you were going to ever say or do. It's like when Pastor Mike got up this morning and here he is pondering his heart, Lord, I'm so hungry. I want more. I am so hungry. And what caused me to walk down that aisle, point him out, said, would you step in the aisle? The Lord just tells me how hungry you are. There's this one man, this isn't my message, this is all free. we're just kind of getting warmed up here. I'm not going to charge you a bit for this extra stuff. But there's a minister friend of mine, his name's Larry Huggins, and he was ministering one time, and he was given the altar call, and he said, every head bowed, every eye closed. And about he did that, he was getting ready to say, if there's a man or woman, boy or girl, sitting in this congregation, and you've never made Jesus, and he was getting ready to say that, and the Holy Spirit said, say elephants and not holes. Yeah, the Holy Spirit said, say elephants and not holes. And Larry said, Lord, I don't think I want to say that. I don't think I want to say that at all. And so he said, he said, every head bowed, he's trying to give the altar call. If there's a woman, boy, or girl seated in this congregation, and the Holy Spirit said, say elephants and not holes. And he said, Lord, so far this has been a good service. And if I say elephants and not holes and blurt it out like that, they're going to take me to the funny farm. I mean, if I just blurted out elephants and not holes, wouldn't you think that was a little bit weird? And he tried to get out of it. He said, Lord, I don't want to say that. And he said, every head bowed. He tried to do the altar call again. He said, every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's a man or woman. And the Holy Spirit practically screamed to him, say elephants and not holes. And so Larry goes, elephants and not holes. And all of a sudden, off to the one side, there was a woman, a very large woman, that started weeping. And, of course, Larry, he's thinking, oh, boy, something's happening here. I need to go investigate what's going on. So he walks up and goes, he says, sister, he goes, I have no idea why I said elephants and not holes, but obviously that means something to you. Can you tell me what that means to you? She goes, she's crying. She says, right before I came here tonight, she goes, I was getting ready to kill myself. She goes, I've always been a big woman, and people always joked about me being overweight. Matter of fact, all my life, I was told by my peers that I would always be this big, and I would always be as big as an elephant, and I'd be so big I couldn't fit through a doorway of a room, and they'd have to feed me through a knot hole in the door. And I just can't take it anymore. And I was sitting there just a moment ago. I said, Lord, if you're real, if you love me, if you care about me, have that man of God say elephants and not holes. And here Larry just blurts out, elephants and not holes. Well, of course, that meant something to one person. That is one example of hundreds and thousands of examples of experiences that we experience all the time obeying God. Can you imagine if that minister hadn't had the cooperation with the Holy Spirit, the faith to be able to step out and say something as odd as that, but it meant something to somebody. It meant something the day that Pastor Mike, his heart's crying out for God, God, I want you to know I'm hungry. The minister comes back and says, Lord says you're hungry. I mean, isn't God awesome? I said all of that just for this, before we do anything else in these next couple services. It is so important that you realize what we're a part of. It's so important that you realize that every word of God is true. And it's not just true for someone, it's true for you. But the children of Israel, they were kept out of the land of promise. Hebrews says the reason why. It says that they did not mix faith with what they heard. Not mixing faith with what you hear, which I understand the challenge that you and I have to be gutsy enough to gird up yourself and say, I don't care what my uncle or cousin said or what some religious person said about what the Word says. And you can never really know, because I know a lot of people that asked God to do something for them and they never got an answer to what they were believing for. Well, listen, it's like someone came to Brother Hagin and says, if healing belongs to all of us, why doesn't everyone get healed? And Brother Hagin said, well, if you'll answer this question, I'll answer you that question. He said, Jesus provided salvation for every person to redeem us from sin, right? How many of you know that's it? That's what Jesus did, the finished work at the cross. But how many of you know not everybody's saved? Why is not everybody saved? Someone tell me why not everyone is saved. What? Why? They haven't accepted. They haven't believed in what they heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans talks about some people haven't heard because there wasn't a preacher sent. A preacher has to be sent so that someone can hear, so someone can receive. So meetings like this, as preachers have been sent to you, and we are a visitation from heaven, we are a visitation from God, to come in and just let that word divide against the bone and the marrow. Let the Word of God go between the intentions of your heart and your mind. Let the highest standard, which is the Word of God, show light unto something that's become cloudy and calloused over a certain time, where your ability to see clearly 20/20 in the Spirit, your ability to perceive and to see things the way God said they're supposed to be. There is a way things ought to be. I said, there is a way things ought to be, and it may not be the way your neighbor thinks. It may not be what Aunt Martha thinks and what she said, or what someone else, you know, Annie was talking about riding motorcycles. You know, she was quoting Psalms 91, the benefits of, you know, that we're under the shadow of the Almighty. That though 1,000 may fall and 10,000 on your other side, this trouble will not come and find me. You know, the whole, you know, psalm there talks about our protection from many different sources. The protection, the provision, angelic assistance. Well, you know what? We were talking about this at lunchtime, and this isn't my message. I'll get to my message in just a second. But we were talking at the lunch table how we have the awesome privilege to choose life. The Word of God says, God said, I put before you life and death. And then for some of those, he knew we were going to be a little bit slow. He said, choose life. You know, do you know that this is a Bible reality fact, that in the days of the children of Israel, that they actually wrote the blessings on one mountain and they wrote the cursings on the other mountain so they would not get them confused? And you can see why they did, because today people still get those things confused. What is a blessing and what is a cursing? But God's Word says, I put before you life and death. Now, here's the thing we were just discussing this afternoon was, death is inevitable. Death is automatically going to come. You don't have to choose death. Don't be concerned. Death will come. And the only way to not have death is by choosing life. By choosing life. Saying, I believe what the Word of God says about my finances. Yes. I believe what the Word of God says about divine healing. I believe the Word of God when he says, cast all of my cares upon him, for he cared for me. And if therefore, if I give my cares to him, I don't have a care. I strongly recommend you tonight to be a charter member tonight. Sign up on our list at our table to join the I Don't Care Club. I Don't Give a Rip Club. You can be a charter member tonight. I Don't Give a Rip Club. Everyone say, I don't give a rip.
I don't give a rip.
Say it one more time. Some of you really need to get it out of your mouth. Say, I don't give a rip.
I don't give a rip.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't care about people. That doesn't mean you don't have compassion about people. But listen, God wants you to enjoy the joy of your salvation. He's delivered you. He's saved you. He's covered you with his blood. You got the favor of God. You got the blessing of the Lord. You've been empowered to prosper. You are the head and not the tail. You're not going under. He said you're going over. He said thanks be unto God who always causes you to triumph. You're an overcomer in Jesus Christ, and it is your choice. Everyone say, it's my choice. And so when, you know, I was ministering to my brother just a couple of weeks ago. We're ministering to my parents, and my father's needing some assisted living, and my mother's kind of gone through some very difficult emotional, you can imagine, you know, you being married to someone for 55, almost 60 years, and now, you know, they don't even recognize you anymore. You know, those are hard days, very difficult times. And because between taking care of my parents, my brother and I, particularly my brother, he's been doing it longer than me because we just moved to Florida and now we're kind of getting involved a little bit. But he's had to walk through with them through so many things. He's got a son who's had epileptic seizures. You know, he's had to hold him on the floor where he's bitten his mouth open and blood streaming down and hold him while he's shaking. And he's had that. He's got his business. He's got his relationship with it. And then he's got my father to take care of. And so you can imagine someone like that. and then with all that going on, he had somebody sue him for some job that it was not his fault, but because it was in some kind of a governmental area and dealing with some land issue, he got into a lawsuit that, you know, he's having to defend. So can you imagine? This is just one person's life going on. And so I was ministering to him. We have a supply of the Spirit to give, which we're endeavoring to minister to you. And so I was telling you about casting your cares on the Lord. And so he said, well, that sounds wonderful, but I still have to get on this machine later on today, and I have to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I said, Rob, you have two ways to get on that machine today. You can either get on that machine carefree, or you can get on that machine with carrying all the weight and the cares of everything else that's going on. It's simply a choice. Now, what my brother, and he loves God. God uses him. he's not in full-time ministry like my brother, my middle brother and I. My middle brother's a missionary in China doing phenomenal things. And but my oldest brother, this is the one, he's got his own business down there in Florida. And the thing is, it's just been a little overwhelming how much he's had on his plate. And the thing is, I could tell when he said, and this is where a lot of people are at. It's like Annie was saying this morning, God wants to do life with you. Everyone say, God wants to do life with me. That's right. He wants to, he doesn't want to just take the moment that we have together where you can sense a stronger manifestation, because it makes sense that it would, because it's magnified when we all come together. See, Pastor Mike has, Courtney has a supply of the Spirit, Annie has, Brother Kurt has a supply, Vinny, he has a supply of the Spirit. You have a supply of the Spirit. And when you join those anointings together, the Bible says one can send 1,000 demons to flight, two can send 10,000 demons to flight. Well, let's just do the math real quick, and you can realize we could do some serious damage to the devil and his camp. There's something about, and then you get that one mind and one accord factor. When we've come together, we're magnifying him, and all of a sudden he manifests. It's not that he can't manifest in your bedroom and in your kitchen, but it seems like God reserves certain manifestations for when we come together. That's why when you come in here, you go, wow, I feel different. Right now, you have been improved, encouraged, and build up more than what you were when you came in here.
Right.
How many of you would just say a hearty amen to that?
Amen.
Even if we just stopped and went home right now, you'd say, man, I got a little something, something. I can't even explain what it is, but there's a little something, something going on there. And you know what? That little something, something is God making his word alive. That's God. That something, something is the anointing of God at work and stirring up your spirit, man. And we need, like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. There's a gift of God on the inside. You got to stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. And that's what happens. That's why your church is so important, because when you come in here, we all have a supply of the Spirit, but then pastor, he's going to stir up that gift in you. He's going to see to it that whatever's lacking in your faith, You know, Paul said this, and I'm going to get to my message in just a second. I'm looking for, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, Paul said, I want to see your face, because when I see your face, I may perfect that which is lacking in your faith. See, when a ministry gift stands in front of you, they have the spiritual equipment to look at your eyeballs, and then as we look into your eyes, the gift of God and the office we stand in helps us say things. I have not said one thing yet I had intended to say tonight. I'm about to get to a message, but I'm just, you know, or this could be it. This just might be it. But Pastor Mike knows me. This is sort of how it happens a lot of times. Yeah, well, again, you know, he's hung around this same type of anointing, the prophetic side. You know, you need more than just a dry three-point a poem sermon. You need the interwoven spirit-ledness of the Holy Spirit that takes what has been downloaded in you as a minister, and then he says, let me show you how to get it out. We can get to that other message anytime. But the thing is, what is God saying right now? So, the ability for, you know, Annie said that we can't see your faith, but we can perceive your faith. You know, Paul told that one man at Lystra, he says, rise. He said, perceiving the man had faith to be healed. There must have been something on that man's faith. There must have been something coming out of that man's eyeballs that Paul said, hey, hold on, guys. I see faith over here. I see faith over here. And so, see, you know yourself, you're not getting this kind of encouragement when you're at your house. That's why us coming together and being one mind, one accord is so important, hearing the truth. So my brother, you know, he's got all this weight on him, and I was trying to encourage him, Rob, let's cast the care on the Lord. I remember one minister, Dr. Dufresne, you know, he'd have everyone put their hands together, and he goes, now put all your cares in your hands right here, right now. Everyone put your cares right there in the palm of your hands. He says, now we're going to take them, and we're going to cast them over on the Lord. And then he was demonstrating, we're just going to cast them on the Lord. And then the people behind the people had the duck, so your cares to become their cares. You know? You don't want to throw your cares on somebody else. But he said, cast your cares upon the Lord. He said, he watches over you affectionately. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he loves you and he watches over you affectionately. The thing is, if you give your cares to the Lord, then you do not have them anymore. That is actually if you gave them to the Lord. So my brother was saying, well, that sounds good, Kevin, but I still have to do such and such and such and such and such and such. You know, that's spiritually, in theory, that sounds like a wonderful thing. The thing is, there's a disconnect right there with this. Because somehow there's a missing link of realizing these scriptural principles, these promises, these commands of faith, to forget those things which are behind. Come on. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Amen. Forget not. These aren't suggestions. These are commands that the power of God has the ability to confirm and back up. Because anytime you do the word and you act on the promises of God, whether you see it instantly, overnight, or in your checking account on Monday morning, or in your body immediately, there is a suddenly that takes place immediately. Everyone say, a suddenly happens immediately when I act upon the word. Oh, we need to say that one more time. Say, a suddenly happens immediately when I act upon the word. Everyone say, a suddenly happens immediately when I act upon the word. Man, I need to take notes of my own preaching right now. That was just so good. Everyone say, what did I say? Someone, a suddenly happens immediately when you act upon the word. Let's say it one more time. A suddenly happens immediately when I act upon the word. Let's say it one more time. A suddenly happens immediately when I act upon the word. See, because God's word would have to not be true for it not to go into motion and start to produce a harvest the moment the word is acted upon. Because, see, God doesn't just tell the truth, He is the truth. Numbers says, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I'll do it. If I've spoken it, I'll make it good. He said he confirms his word with signs following. He watches over his word to perform it. He said, as long as there's a sky above your head and there's grass underneath your feet, he said, no, my word will stand forever. Hebrews says, I cannot swear by another promise. I cannot swear by another oath. He said, so I have to swear by my own word, because my word is the highest authority. There is no shadow of turning with me. There's one thing I cannot do. I will not turn my back, and I cannot lie. I will do what I said I would do for you. The God who cannot lie said, cast your cares upon me, for I cares for you. Therefore, if you've given it to him, if you start walking around in the molly grubs, that means you didn't really cast your care on him. God bless you. You're dismissed. I'm almost getting to my, that was my introduction. I'm so close to my message.
It was great.
Hallelujah. It was great. You ready to go home? Start up the motorcycle? What are we doing? You ready to go? Hallelujah. Doesn't the word inspire us? I just want to encourage you in everything that's said, whether it's the next 5 minutes or the next two services when we come back. The impact of the Word of God is so amazing. The fruit that can come from a believer simply choosing to believe and act upon the Word. God said, I will not be mocked. That which a man sows, he will reap. If you sow unto the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm ready for my spirit man to be energized, to grow, to be refreshed, to be challenged, for my spirit man to get one more glimpse into the reality of everything Jesus has provided for me. You coming to God and saying, God, I don't want things to stay the way they've been. Maybe it's been pretty good for you. Maybe things aren't as good as you would like them to be. But a simple choice, and it is your choice, to act upon the Word will cause an immediate change. It'll cause a suddenly to begin immediately. That will cause a change for your life. Now, you might not see the entire complete, full measure and manifestation of it. But you know, even a tomato seed, when it's planted, you put that seed in the ground and, you put it in the ground and, there it is. And you kind of look at it, come out the next day, and you look at it and like, wow, wonder if anything's going on.
That's good. Come on.
Wonder if anything's going on. So, you've learned a couple things, and even when you were a little kindergarten, did you ever get one of those styrofoam cups and the teacher has you put a seed in it, you put the little water on it, and all of a sudden, all the kids come up there and go, is there anything happening, And then, a week might go by, and after a while, kids can get kind of bored, it's like, and then all of a sudden one day they go over there and there's a little bitty green thing. Wow, is that a weed? or do I got a plant going there? Well, you come out there and see people, they don't realize that, sometimes your troubles didn't happen just overnight. Turn to someone and say, I think he's getting ready to talk to you right now. I think he's getting ready to talk to you right now. Some of your problems didn't happen overnight. You may just need to give God a few days.
Yeah.
Can I have a witness?
Amen.
How many of you just might need to give God just a few days of you consistently sowing the Word? Just, you might need to just sow the Word just for a few days. Better yet, if you just gave him a whole month, maybe just going out there and watering that plant, still nothing. And you put the can down, you go about your business. You don't have to go out there and go, okay, you plant, you get with it now. I know you're supposed to grow. I know you, I believe you're going in there. Now you better be growing in there. You better be growing. You better be. You hear me? You better be growing. You know, you don't have to, a farmer doesn't do that.
No.
No, he goes out there, and the big farmers, that they have the big equipment. They just go through the field, water it once. The farmer goes back on to other business. And then after, a number of days, maybe a couple of weeks, all of a sudden, we got a little green sprout. The seed has been working the whole time. Immediately, the word has been working. You might all of a sudden suddenly see something, but it immediately took place the moment you acted on the word. All you got to do is act upon the word. Receive the word. Act upon the word, and just keep watering it. Whatever it is that you ask God for. You wake up the next day, Father God, I thank you that word is working in me. I thank you I can live my life without a worry or a care. I thank you that Jesus, you took my infirmities and you bore my sicknesses on a tree. And I thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, who your own self bore my iniquities. By your stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that your word produces. It produces life. It produces health. I thank you sickness has to go from me because the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, is greater than any other name. And it has to bow to the name of Jesus. So, Father God, again, I thank you that the word that I sowed, it is working in me. And I thank you. Now I'm going to go about my day. I'm just going to have a good time today, knowing that I don't have to do anything else with that seed. I already thanked you for it. I'm already praising you. I know it's being done. So I'm going to just go about my business, and then I'll come back here tomorrow. I'll wake up and just praise you again one more time because I know. I don't have to ask you for it. I already sowed it. I don't want to dig up the seed and say, well, is anything going on? You don't want to do that. Just leave it in the ground. Just keep watering it. Come out in the morning. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my healing. I thank you, Lord, that you're canceling my debt. I thank you, but my God shall supply all of my needs. Just sprinkle a little of that water. Just water the seed. Just sprinkle it and then go back about your business. The next day you come out, you can't see a thing. Oh, Lord, I just think I'm going to just sprinkle a little bit more. I'm going to, just kind of water that seed a little bit. Lord, I thank you that the word is working. I thank you that you're a faithful God. I thank you that you always do what you say you're going to do. There's no shadow turning. You can't lie. So I know that seed's working in there. And I acted upon your word and I spoke what your promises are. And so therefore I know that the answer is on the way. I know that I'm about to receive. Just any time I'm going to see a little sprout. Just any moment now, something's going to come busting up out of that ground. All of a sudden my need's supplied. Because he's faithful that promised. And he won't let us down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said this. He said, if you'll ask anything in my name, John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. And he said, all these things that the opportunity that I'm giving you to ask what you want, what you desire, and it shall be done, is so that your joy will be full. You know, God wants to be, he wants you to be more happy than you want to be happy. I tell you what, people think that, if I serve God, I'm going to have to give up so much. Yeah, you probably have to give up depression and oppression, have to give up lack and probably give up sickness. You have to give up a lot to serve God. You're just going to have to give up, strife. You're going to have to just give up just having a complex of am I going to heaven? Am I not going to heaven? You can just give all that up and say, I'm walking in the habitual relationship with my Heavenly Father. I'm in Him. He's in me. I am one with the Father just like Jesus was. I am complete in Him. I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I can walk this day standing 10 foot tall, knowing that the blessing of the Lord is on me, that the favor of God is on me, that God's power is on the inside of me, and go through your day just the total awareness of that God is working on your behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't even know what I'm doing up here tonight. I'm just saying a bunch of stuff. Anybody getting anything? Hallelujah. God wants to do life with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't we just lift our hands for just a moment? Just thank God that His word is working, that He is a faithful God. that there is no shadow turning. If he will do something for one person, he will do it for you. He is no respecter of person. All he's looking for is your faith. God goes where faith puts him. He's just looking for some. His eyes run to and fro, looking who he may show himself strong through. Who would be that person that he could show himself strong through? The person that he would show himself strong through are those who put their trust in him. Those who stand in the midst of all odds, in the midst of every trial and situation, and say, "But my God is for me. Who can be against me?" Right in the middle of tests and trials, you can lift up your head and know that your redemption draweth nigh, because he is going before you and he's making a way. For he said, if you lift up your voice, if you will praise me before you see it, I will cause you to see it. Because like I said in my word, let the people praise me, let all the people praise me, then I'll cause the earth to yield its increase. And God, I will bless you, I'll cause the earth to bless you. I will cause increase to come to you, and I will cause your house to be blessed, and I'll cause your baskets to be full, and I'll cause what you put your hand to be blessed, and everywhere your feet shall go, you shall trod over the enemy, and the enemy will have to bow, the enemy will have to be removed, and the blessing of the Lord will begin to flow. Because if you'll lift up your eyes, lift up your heads, and look unto me, and speak my word, and declare what it is that you desire of me, I'll cause the windows of heaven to open to you, I'll cause my word to manifest for you, I'll cause you to stand on the high place, places, and I'll cause you to come into your wealthy place. So look up once more. Look up your head. Lift up your head and look your eyes upon me, because I will cause you to walk in victory. Oh.